Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Haven't we long envied the al fresco culture enjoyed by our continental neighbours, but never more than in the past 12 months when the pandemic forced life outdoors. But what's the best way to go about it all if we want to emulate what we see in our continental neighbouring countries? Well, to discuss this further, I'm joined on the line by Gina Murphy, owner of Hugo's Restaurant on Merrion Row in Dublin City Centre, and Conor Skehan, a columnist with the Sunday Independent. You're both very welcome. Gina, I'm going to start with you because you represent 12 businesses where you are on Merrion Row. You've made a proposal to Dublin City Council to transform where you are. Will you set the scene and tell us what you envisage?
Hi, good morning, Claire. Good morning, Connor. Sure. So basically, we are a group of traders on Merrion Row. Merrion Row is situated on the east and north junction of St. Stephen's Green in the city. It's a very busy thoroughfare. We have set up a traders group called Boomer, which is the business owners and operators of Merrion Row. It not only represents the 12 hospitality businesses, but also the other non-hospitality on the street, both at street and first floor level. So basically what we proposed, and we put this into the council last August, is for the pedestrianization of Merrion Row and the creation of a cultural corridor and a Georgian walkway to link the galleries and the museums and all the historical sites in our area, and that it would become an attraction within itself and a facility and an amenity within the city that would be for everybody.
All right. And Conor, you're concerned that the government might be planning to give away public property to a chosen few for private business gain. Is that right?
Perfectly summarised, Claire. Perfectly summarised.
Tell us why you have those concerns.
Well, I think there's two things. First of all, I think what Gina and her friends in Merrion Row are doing is going to be very welcome as we try to recover from this terrible last 12 months. So anything at all we can do to get ourselves out and about is welcome. And I think the government are doing the right thing to try to help that happen. The worry I have is that when I read the text of the government's proposals, it keeps using the word permanent. And the permanent setting up of the kind of al fresco arrangements, Claire, that you described at the top of the piece, envisages parts of the squares that we've all seen in Spain and Italy and France, where there are tables and chairs and umbrellas and windbreaks permanently in place. They become part of the property of the adjoining business, and they're public space. They've been taken away. So we have the bizarre situation of giving away one of the most precious and literally irretrievable commodities you can have, which is public open space. And we have to do it in a very, very transparent way, and we have to take the thing all the way through.
Connor, I don't know if you're on speakerphone there or there's something you can do with your phone line, but it's a little bit, it's just going in and out. But just to dig down deeper into what you're saying there about this public space becoming a permanent place for people to drink and to dine, what is wrong with that? What is the problem?
There is nothing wrong with it. It's like everything we do in life, so long as whatever we do is done properly. So we don't drink and drive. We don't give shotguns to babies. So we need to make sure that we are doing whatever we're doing properly in a regulated way. The biggest issue is equity and fairness. And people who are fortunate enough to have a street that's going to end up being facilitated like this is going to leave out 90% of the pubs and shops and businesses who are not so favoured. So what do I say to somebody who's paying rates and they don't get an extra 50% tables? They're the kinds of questions we have to ask. And that's just at the commercial level. There's the rules of antisocial behaviour, which are breaking the hearts of guards up and down the country at the moment. And then the issues of what you're going to do with the public street for people who might be less able.
So, Gina, what do you see when you think about this plan for the summer, if it happens for the summer? Do you think that this will then become a permanent place for you to use going on from here?
Well, excuse me, sorry. First of all, for Merrion Row, we are looking to do something permanent and turn it into a plaza. But for everybody in the industry, the outdoor dining is a crucial lifeline. I mean, just to give you an example, for myself and my own business, I've only traded 13 out of the last 210 days. Now, I'm typical of anybody in our industry. I mean, how we're all still standing, I don't know. So in order to help us survive, this has to happen. Whether it's a short-term thing or long-term thing is down to each individual council. But with regards to Merrion Row, I mean, we're not just talking about outdoor dining. We're actually talking about a whole facility. And we've had massive support from all our neighbouring streets and our neighbouring businesses that aren't on Merrion Row, who are fully in support of this, because the more it helps sustain our industry, the more everybody gets sustained.
I just wonder,
not just about us.
On a very superficial level, what will it be like? Because Dennis Staunton was writing in the Irish Times about his experience in London, where they're already doing this as of this week, and he talks about the windy terraces and the wobbly tables set up in parking spaces, literally in the gutter.
It's not what we're looking at. We actually have a very galvanised plan of how we see this going forward. And we see the use of standardised, dignified, refined seating, uniformed seating throughout. So, for example, outside my restaurant would have the same furniture as Bang or as Eto or a Foley's. We would all have the same elegant furniture, elegant parasols. We have also agreed to sign up to a charter of how we operate the outdoor area, and that everybody has to comply to cleaning standards, behaviour standards, everything like that.
So you'll you'll police the patrons on the street?
Well, with regards to our customers, yes, that we would operate it like we would operate our businesses. I mean, obviously, it would be an extension of our businesses. And obviously, we still fall under licensing laws and everything. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what we're trying to do is actually create an amenity that would give space for artists, for musicians, for, a possible farmer's market at the weekend. It's about a whole amenity for the city that's not just for the locals, but also, fingers crossed, Claire, when the tourists come back, we have something beautiful to show them that we never had before, and we're suddenly European.
Connor, are you reassured when you hear all of that? It sounds lovely.
It does indeed, Gina, and good luck with it. But what I keep saying is if we're going to do it, we do it well. It has to have rules, it has to have rates to reflect the additional seats and tables you've been given. And all of us need to be very careful not to put beer goggles on and forget that that terrace that we were on in any of those continental or Mediterranean countries are regulated to within an inch of their lives. And when you actually live in the place, you realise the severity of the regulations and the fact that in every one of those little French squares when we're all out there, there's a big, huge gendarme truck parked in the corner all night long to police that. That has to be paid for, that has to be regulated, that has to be agreed to. It's not something that can be done in isolation, and definitely not wearing beer goggles.
So if you're a business benefiting from this outdoor space, you have to pay for it, Connor.
Oh, you will have to pay not just for putting the tables out, but as a rateable business. We've got to have equity for all of those people who are in the businesses that Gina rightly says have been so hard done by and who are struggling so hard. But it is heartbreaking for somebody who's trying to recover their business and they suddenly see this free goodie bag being given to the chosen few using public space while they themselves are struggling to recover on a street that's not so blessed.
But Gina has said that there are businesses that won't be directly impacted by this, but they're in favour of it happening because it'll attract people in.
Exactly, into those the localised area. The zone of influence for those types of streets extends about 30 metres from the street itself, not much more than that.
Would you be prepared to pay much more, Gina, not just for putting the tables on the streets, as Connor says, but, a good hike in your rates in order to do this because of all the additional costs that will be faced by the state in this one, by the council?
A good hike in the rate, Claire, your gas. Right now, we're not paying rents because we're not even open. Secondly, getting back on our feet, we are going to need help. It's a bit like riding a bicycle. You know, when you teach a kid to ride a bike, just because you put them into the cycle lane does not mean you take off the stabilizers. We are not able to stand on our own 2 feet at the moment. We need help. So with regards to the rates, while we have social distancing and we cannot operate our businesses as normal, I would hope that there would be some, nice balance found in how we trade outside. But obviously, long term, we have to look at this in a very positive way for the city and its people.
All right. Gina Murphy, Conor Skehan, thank you both very much indeed for joining us. We're going to be talking about the best food trucks that you might come across over the course of the weekend after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.